Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show. Monday, August 20th, 2012, the start of a brand new week here. A lot of stuff going on here. And our phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. The lovely Miss Crystal is sitting in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, ready to answer your calls when you call on it. A reminder that in hour number three of our show today, we're having Dr. Gilbert Levin as our guest. We're going to be talking about the Viking mission to Mars, the search for life on other worlds. And it's all very exciting because we're all looking forward to Curiosity, which is, you know, step by step getting ready to start roving around. And it's carrying these experiments that may very well confirm the findings of the Viking mission all those years ago. So it's very exciting. And I imagine Dr. Levin is just, you know, he's just really waiting to see this, because in the history of any planet, there's only one moment where you find out for a fact you are not the only planet with life on it. And if Curiosity confirms the findings, Dr. Levin is the guy who did it back in 1976. So we need to be paying attention to him. All righty, a lot of stuff to talk about today. Before we get going, though, just before we went to airtime, Obama was up on TV speechifying, basically as a rebuttal to some of the claims being made by the Romney campaign regarding the government's care for the elderly and various other issues. And I was listening just out of one ear, and all of a sudden I heard Barack Obama say, "One thing I learned as president is you can't just make stuff up." Really? Like that show last year of killing some old guy and claiming it was Osama bin Laden? You didn't just make that up and then back it up with all those photoshopped, very poor quality, I might add, photoshopped images that were dumped all over the net to prove that Obama was the guy who got bin Laden. And, of course, we know the real bin Laden died of natural causes in December of 2001. But he was just useful as a wag-the-dog kind of figure. And that's why all the bin Ladens on the videotapes ever since then were such obvious, obvious phonies here. All righty, let's see, moving right along. A little side note, had a bad hardware weekend. I was not happy about it at all. My wife's Pan Digital tablet died after just 6 months. And no, I don't really care if it's under warranty. I don't want another one because that'll just fail in 6 months' time. And I'm hearing from people who wrote in response to my rant about this that Asus is making a lot of good, solid products. And I've had two of their netbooks, and the first one was used rather roughly on the set of Off the Map, and then it fell victim to malware that I just could not get off of it. And so I got the newer Asus netbook, and it seems to run just fine. It's holding up very, very well. And I understand they're coming out with a new tablet, 4 CPU, just amazing thing, docking station with a full keyboard. So I think probably I'm going to ask Santa Claus to bring that for my wife so that she's not struggling with her little iPhone. Although our huzzah, huzzah, our AT&T contract is up. We're breaking free, and we're probably going to go over to another provider that has that little Samsung Galaxy 3, which has the larger screen, you know, for us older people with eyes that don't work as well as the little kiddies do. Another failure we had was our Blu-ray player had to be replaced. Now, I will be very honest, it did not fail. It's a JVC. It was one of the first ones out there, and when we got it, the box said, does not support the full Blu-ray standard. And since I'm starting to master Blu-rays for these videos that we've made around Claire's music, I needed a machine to test on, because my computer can't play Blu-ray. It's got a Blu-ray drive and all the stuff, but the monitors that I have on this thing don't have the special secret chip in there to make sure I'm not doing something nefarious with my Blu-ray discs, like there's been anything released that's worth copying anyway. So I needed a machine to test out the discs and the disc work and everything. And we had to get that. And along with that, we got the offer for Netflix, $8 a month, and the first month free. So we decided to turn it on. What the heck here? Learn something a little interesting about Netflix that I will share with you when we come back from these words from our sponsors.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the Freeze-Dry Guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including Turtle Tough shelters.
We have added two 24-foot Turtle Toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle Tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost, and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your Turtle Tough shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
Leroy lives in a cardboard box down by the Mission Bell, where saints refuse to go and the sinners wish him well. Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine, it happens far too often.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. So we got this Blu-ray player, and it was actually very inexpensive. I was a little bit surprised. And but it's obviously set up as a terminal to provide you additional services that you will pay for, you know, on a monthly basis. So it's kind of like the Barbie doll. They sold the doll pretty much at cost, and then the clothing for the doll was really, really overpriced. So I think that's part of the financial model here. But we got this Blu-ray player so I could test the discs I'm making for Claire. And along with it came this little thing about a free Netflix month and then $8 a month afterwards. And because we are just fed up with Time Warner Cable here in Hawaii, which is just showing the same thing over and over again. You know, how many times can you watch The Bourne Tedium before you can recite it from memory? So we decided to do the trial month, the free trial month for Netflix. And I was looking through it, and I was rather surprised to find that a lot of the really good movies, the very successful movies, aren't really listed. I looked for Apollo 13 just as an experiment. I was sort of going through the search engine to see what was online, and that's not there. The lineup of the current movies is basically the same thing we're actually getting from Time Warner Oceanic. But they do have a documentary section, and there's a lot of documentaries like about 9/11. Some good and some obviously pieces of disinformation. And then I went to look for the documentary Inside Job, which, as you know, last year won the Academy Award for Best Documentary Film. It's about how Wall Street screwed us all over. And it's not to be found on Netflix. I was a little surprised about that. Seems that there may be, even among Netflix, a little bit of censorship to serve the money junkies here. Now, speaking of censorship, apparently Facebook has started to remove all of their pages that deal with Hezbollah, supposedly because they incite to violence, as opposed to all of the Israeli Facebook pages which incite violence against Muslims, which seem to be okay with Mark, please feel sorry for me, I lost another billion on the IPO, Zuckerberg. And I mention this because in the days leading up to 9/11, that huge false flag that they used to try and launch their century of unending war, the FBI was running around the United States of America shutting down the websites of all the Muslim charities to make sure that only the approved commentary on the attacks was out on the net that day. They didn't want any voices saying, no, we don't think it's Muslims. Now, it didn't work, obviously, but because the government is such a creature of habit, I think we can expect more of the same kind of online censorship and interference leading up to Israel's attacks on Lebanon, Iran, Syria, Egypt, yada, 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 yada. And I noticed over the weekend, National Geographic channel was like nonstop, Hitler this, Nazi that, Third Reich this, horrible things. And when they start waving the Nazis and Hitler all over the corporate media, it means Israel's getting ready to really do something stupid. And they had this one show that I just stumbled across when I was going around the dial, and it was called 42 Ways to Kill Hitler. And I only watched a few minutes of it toward the very end, where they were recreating, to use the term loosely, the attempted assassination of Hitler by his own people in the bunker with the big heavy wood table, and how the table was so heavy and solid it saved Hitler's life. And they went out there and they drew a rectangle on the ground. They put a table in there and they put an explosive saying, see, this is why he survived. And if only the Valkyrie people had put all the explosive they had in the case, it would have been far, far different. Now, without the walls of the room reflecting back the concussion wave, any results they get from this experiment are irrelevant to history. And that means this was just a show that was put together to have yet one more way of waving Nazis, Hitler, all over the National Geographic channel. You know, Hitler's super ship, you know, Hitler's stealth fighter, all this constant. And when they're doing that, it means we're on the verge of Israel doing something really bad, and we're supposed to feel sorry for them because of what happened in the first half of the previous century before pretty much all of us were alive. So it's a red warning flag that something is on the horizon, or at least it's being planned. And if we can get them to doubt again, they might call it off. More and more indications the feds are targeting the alternative media. My email box is full of just all kinds of nonsensical stuff. You know, the usual stuff, you know, chemtrails and HAARP and, you know, no plane at the Pentagon and the Apollo moon landings were faked. And, you know, every time I get a flood of that, it's a warning something's going on there. Apparently, Alex Jones has confirmed that the Department of Homeland Security is monitoring InfoWars. That would hardly come as a shock. We know we have some government people listening to this radio show and reading our website, because every time we have an online poll about, you know, what's going on, there's always that 3% that says, oh, yes, we believe the government story. We think Israel is right. And that basically is identifying the presence of surveillance / agents provocateurs. All right. Before we go any further, we got a caller waiting on the line. Ed in California. Aloha, Ed. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today? He just hung up. Ed, I'm sorry I took so long to get to you. It can be like that. If you want to call back in, you know, we'll get you back on the air. Now, we are continuing to see in the United States of America, AIPAC, the American-Israel Political Affairs Committee, which is a foreign policy lobby, although not required to register as one. And they're out there throwing their money and influence around saying, yes, you guys have to go to war with Iran, because if the United States doesn't attack Iran, Israel's going to have to do it. And it's far, far better for Israel that the United States throw their children onto the Iranians' bayonets than Israel have to throw Israel's children onto the Iranian bayonets, because, you know, as everybody knows, Israel's children are far more valuable and culturally superior to America's children's. So they're basically out there. They're cranking up their influence to try and get the U.S. to commit to a war with Iran. Amazingly enough, within Israel itself, there is a very intense debate going on. And more, it looks like the people of Israel, including much of its military and its intelligence services, think this is a really bad idea. And so Benjamin Netanyahu is trying to basically convince the people of Israel that an attack on Iran is an okay thing, because he's got the U.S. absolutely under lock and key to follow in behind and clean up the mess. And he's not getting that message from Obama, which is why he's trying all these bluffs. You know, we'll hold off the invasion until after the election, you know, as long as you promise, guarantee that you'll attack Iran next spring. Now, why Israel would believe anything that Obama says at this point is a matter of much conjecture, but that seems to be what's going on over there. But functionally, for all intents and purposes, Israel has delivered a not very subtle ultimatum to Obama. They're basically saying, only you, the United States, can prevent this forest fire from engulfing the Middle East by, you know, coming in and stomping on Iran for us. Israel has lit the flame. Netanyahu has sent the warning. Either you do as we demand, you know, promise you will attack Iran next spring, or we're going to go ahead and do it now, and a new war is going to be an election loser for Obama. So basically, Netanyahu is trying to exploit the November elections to get the U.S. to do what he wants. And his own sense of urgency has to do with the elections in Israel next month, because otherwise Netanyahu could just sit back. Romney's already said he'll attack Iran. Obama's already said he'll get around to it in his second term. But Netanyahu is in a really, really huge rush, because he's losing support within his own government. He's losing support among his own military, and certainly among the Israeli people. They're as tired of all these wars as you and I are. That's our common ground of connection with the people of Israel. They don't like what's going on either. They're suffering under higher taxes. They're dealing with austerity. They're wondering, where has all this money gone? And Israel is back to saying, you know, Iran is really close to a nuclear bomb. They're going to have a bomb and then the world will end. Well, not really. Let us suppose, hypothetically, that Iran has a nuclear weapon. Let's say either they did succeed in building one under the nose of the IAEA, or possibly some other nation has sold them one, the way Israel tried to sell one to South Africa, okay? Now, realistically, if Iran has a nuclear bomb, what are they going to do with it? They could maybe put it in a museum, march down the street in a parade saying, we're Butch, we're a member of the nuclear club here. They're not going to attack Israel, because, first of all, Iran has not initiated a war of aggression in 200 years. That is a record of peace neither Israel or the United States comes close to matching. Okay, then there is that fact that Israel is the world's sixth most powerful nuclear nation, with estimates of their total nuclear arsenal and delivery systems somewhere between 400 and 600 deliverable weapons. If Iran were to attack Israel, Israel would respond, along with the United States of America, by turning Iran into a giant melted green glass parking lot, then they'd send in the troops to paint the stripes. So why all the fuss about Iran's potential possession of a bomb? Okay, well, it's very simple. If Iran has a single nuclear weapon, they're not going to invade Israel, but they can punish Israel for attempting to invade Iran, and that's the real issue. Now, we're coming up on a commercial break here, and when we come back, I'm going to basically lay out exactly what the issue is. It's not about Iran attacking Israel. It's about Israel having the freedom to attack with impunity everybody else around. We're going to take a break for commercials. We will be right back.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and super male and femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA survival course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Call me U.S. Steel, 21st Century Fox soundbite. Gives a damn what's true or false, long as it leans to the right. Add a token liberal, pretend I'm fair, a bimbo for some sex appeal. I'm busy oiling up the corporation wheel, and they call me U.S. Steel.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. So we're talking about Israel screaming that Iran is on the verge of a nuclear weapon. Horror, horror, horror. And of course, the reality is if Iran possessed a single nuclear weapon, they cannot practically use it to invade or attack another country, especially one like Israel, which has a huge nuclear arsenal. But what they can do is they can punish Israel for attempting to attack Iran. And that's really what's going on here. For over 60 years, Israel has enjoyed being able to invade their Arab nations with impunity and just throw their weight around without fear of retribution, backed up by their own and the U.S. nuclear deterrent. But all that ends with the possession of a nuclear weapon by any one of Israel's neighbors. All it takes is one of the Muslim nations to have a nuclear weapon, and Israel loses the ability to grab pieces of other people's nations without fear of having a major Israeli city vanish in a flash of light. Remember, all this talk about nuclear weapons, it's for the deterrence. That's why we were sold this gigantic and extremely costly nuclear arsenal that the United States possesses. It's to deter attack and invasion. Well, don't all nations have a right to deterrence? And the answer would be, yes, Israel doesn't see that way. Israel wants to be protected against invasion, but they want to preserve their right to invade other countries at will. That's why they bombed the nuclear power station up in Iraq at Oserak, claiming it was a bomb factory. Turned out it wasn't. That's why they bombed that facility in Syria, claiming it was a bomb factory. We still don't know exactly what that was all about. And that's why they're now screaming Iran is building a bomb, and they want to basically force Iran to scrap all of their nuclear technology. Not the weapons program, because that doesn't even exist. They want Iran to shut down their nuclear power plants, their medical isotope factories, industrial de-statikers, all of the peaceful applications of nuclear technology. They use gamma isotopes to X-ray load-bearing members of large buildings, because regular X-rays won't go through. But you can X-ray a building using radioisotopes. Radioisotope thermoelectric generators, like the one that is powering Curiosity, these are all peaceful uses of nuclear technology guaranteed to Iran by the Non-Proliferation Treaty. And these are all peaceful uses and exports of nuclear technology that directly compete with Israel's exports. This is a commercial motive for war. Right now, Israel enjoys a monopoly on exporting this kind of nuclear technology and the occasional nuclear weapon to South Africa. And because they have a monopoly, they can charge whatever prices they want, reaping huge profits. Basically, Israel is using the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty to guarantee its monopoly in selling clandestine nuclear weapons. So if Iran builds a nuclear technology infrastructure and they start exporting products like medical isotopes, competition is going to drive down prices and profits. And that, of course, that's a mortal sin in Israel. Just cause for obliteration at the earliest opportunity. Now, as a side note, in the closing days of Israel's last attempt to invade Lebanon, the UN observers, many of whom got killed as soon as they said this, the UN observers were wondering why Israel was bombing so many obviously non-military facilities, even farms. As it turns out, the IDF was targeting those businesses in Lebanon that made products for export that directly competed with Israel's exports. So that's the only real threat to Israel from Iran's nuclear efforts. Israel would have to offer discounts for their own nuclear exports, and that simply cannot be tolerated. Far cheaper to throw America's children onto the Iranians' bayonets than have to lower the prices. In many cases, we live in a post-scarcity world, and profits for corporations and nations are kept up only by artificially creating scarcity, or even the illusion of scarcity. I talk about this all the time, about diamonds. You know, diamonds are a girl's best friend. And we're told they're very expensive bits of rock because they're so rare and scarce. No, they're not. There are enough diamonds around there for every married woman to have at least one on her hand. You go down to every shopping mall, there's two or three jewelry stores full of diamonds. They're not rare or scarce at all. It's just an illusion to drive up the prices. And anytime somebody comes out with a new source of diamonds that competes with the existing infrastructure, the first thing they say is, oh, those are blood diamonds. They're conflict diamonds. They're evil diamonds. You don't want to buy those. People suffer from those diamonds. Why? In order to crush down the competition, drive you back into the hands of the diamond cartels, which are just as abusive of their customers as the light bulb cartel. That's what this is really all about. There's no threat of invasion of Israel. Nobody's going to invade Israel. Nobody cares. It's not worth that much. It's about preserving market monopoly in nuclear technology. That's what this is really all about. And, of course, Iran's banking system is not in line with the West's private central banking system. So there's another motive. First rule you got to remember, nobody starts a war for just one reason. You get a bunch of different interests that get together and say, yeah, we would all be better served by a war. All right, let's have a war. That's what's going on. We're going to take another break. Commercials. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you struggling to reclaim your health? Let me share my story quick. My nightmare of chronic fatigue, PTSD, and autoimmune issues cost me everything. A bankruptcy, loss of home, even my wife walked out on me with no hope in sight. A miracle happened after hitting my lowest point. I discovered Ion and RNA drops. It literally saved my life. I want to share my story with you and offer you a trial size mini bottle of RNA drops. Visit www.rnafreemini.com. Again, that's www.rnafreemini.com. It's time to take your power back now. You can also look for our free trial offer ad at republicbroadcasting.org. RNA drops.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
We are living in dangerous days, and I am frightened by what you say. It chills right to the core, this talk of holy war.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go to the phones. Mike in Kentucky. Aloha, Mike. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey. You had talked about, you know, Israel and their corner on the nuclear fuels in the Middle East. They're the only ones that make a lot of stuff, I think, in the Middle East. They're a huge Intel chip factory over there, which makes me a little nervous. Like, what kind of code? We've already heard about hard drives coming from China with malware installed on them. So, you know, the old doom, 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 Intel inside. It's more like Israel inside, isn't it?
Always that potential that, you know, there's a hardware back door. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why I question the wisdom of the United States government allowing Israel to move Intel over there, because it opens up a huge security risk for the United States of America. We already know that Israel is like the largest foreign spy operations in the United States of America. We know that Israel is behind, at least partly behind Stuxnet, Flame, Dooku, and the new one, Gauss.
Sophisticated computer viruses.
Yeah, and maybe these computer chips are basically open to these viruses. I mean, we know that Gauss has...
There. it can put them in there with some kind of covert code to activate them or something. After,
well, just something like that bypasses the security, something that allows to bypass the security, a second IP address or something.
Well, I'm over here right in a triangle. I would call it almost like the Bermuda Triangle. We got the Paducah gaseous diffusion plant. We got Portsmouth gaseous diffusion plant. We got Oak Ridge to the south. And mm-hmm. I was depicted in a movie, I think, called The Fat Man and the Little Boy, where Oppenheimer had a crisis of conscience once he found out that Oak Ridge was not meant to just make a few nuclear bombs, but tens of thousands. Everybody's worried about Fukushima, but we got 1,000 times more fuel in jeopardy here, waiting for the next flood on the Missouri River, waiting for a terrorist attack, who knows what.
Or the next quake along the New Madrid Fault.
We're waiting for enough. Yeah, there's enough fuel there to make the entire northern hemisphere uninhabitable. Who's worried about that?
I am.
I know. Very few of us in the alternative media are actually talking about that, I think. But this new TV show they've got out, Revolution, where supposedly an electromagnetic pulse takes out the power grid on the entire planet. What about none of these future shock flicks deal with what's going to happen to all this nuclear fuel that's going to be deadly for 30,000 years, you know, other than maybe the movie, 2012 for most of North America gets turned into a subduction zone, and Woody Harrelson sits on the edge of Yellowstone waiting for it to blow up. I mean, that would certainly make the world safe if the entire North America was subducted underneath the Earth's crust.
No, I identify with Woody Harrelson's character in that movie. I keep telling my wife, if the giant asteroid was coming in to wipe out Earth, you know, I'd be up on the roof with a bottle of scotch saying, "You want a piece of me?"
Yeah, because there's no secret ships in the mountains of China waiting to save us.
I'm sure there are secret ships, but they're only going to let the 1% on there, and then they're going to be doomed because they'll get on the other side and they'll say, "Does anybody know how to fix anything?" I know how to write stocks.
Last thing here, I want to touch on this because I'm just a hillbilly in Eastern Kentucky, and I used to be, you know, I used to try to be a little bit of an athlete, and I did some biathlon where I was running and, you know, what they call wildcatting, where you go through without trails in the woods. And in the middle of the woods, I ran across these glassy pieces of what looked like black glass, and I didn't think about what they were, so I just picked up one of them. I didn't have a lot of pockets to carry them all. Kind of turns and found out this thing is a piece of the moon. It's a tektite, or it's, you know, some people think it came from the moon. I found an exact piece that looks just like it at the Redstone Rocket Range. And, you know, all this, you're making a lot about this. If they find proof of life on Mars, I found a piece of the moon here in Eastern Kentucky. There's pieces
of
the Earth on the moon.
It's funny. And by the way, I think I agree with you. You know, believe it or not, when I was in high school, I did a science fair project about tektites. I still have a fairly large collection, although every time I find a kid interested in science, I'll hand one of them out. That was the prevailing theory at the time. And so I did this science project. Apollo had just happened, and I took a tektite and I analyzed it for its water content, and I found there's water inside them. But NASA was saying the moon rocks that came back from Apollo had no water at all. And so on the basis of my water data versus that released by NASA, I concluded tektites had to come from someplace else. We had no idea, but it didn't come from the moon. Now we have found out years later from other probes that have gone to the moon, there is water on the moon.
Yep.
NASA simply assumed the water content in the Apollo rocks was a contamination because everybody knew the moon was completely dry.
Of course,
and so
anything
I still won the scholarship, but, you know, I'm a little pissed off at NASA that they weren't being straight with the data even back then.
Well, impacts have occurred. We know they've occurred. A lot of the Earth's impact craters are severely eroded. They don't look like impact craters anymore. But you can bet that there's been at least as many impacts on the Earth as there were the moon.
More, because of the larger surface. There's a bigger target to hit.
My point is there's a lot of debris flying out of the Earth after life evolved supposedly a billion years ago. There's nothing to say that if we find microbes on Mars that they couldn't have hitched a ride and made it all the way to Mars to contaminate Mars. I think it's entirely possible.
We don't need asteroids to do it, because here's the problem. When NASA declared that Viking had not found any life, when Viking went to Mars, because it was going to be the first lander after the Russians, we sterilized that thing. And it was, you know, it was all disinfected, and it was literally autoclaved on the launch pad just before liftoff. That aeroshell around it was also a sterilization chamber. And the spacecraft was built to be sterilized the way you would sterilize hospital equipment. So when Viking landed on Mars, it had no germs on it at all from Earth. Now, because NASA said we found no life, all the subsequent missions, Sojourner, Pathfinder, Spirit, Opportunity, they weren't sterilized.
Uh-oh.
And so, yeah, that's a big uh-oh, because, you know, you've had, you know, 20, 30 years of sandstorms blowing stuff around there. If Opportunity finds something alive on Mars, they're going to have to take the added step somewhere. I know they're planning a more comprehensive life sciences mission based on what Curiosity finds. But we're going to have to take the added steps of making sure this is not something that came from the Earth. Now, as far as this panspermia theory, that life was brought here from elsewhere, could be, but I think what we're going to find is that life emerges in environments and adapts to that environment, becomes very comfortable in that environment. So any germs that were sent from the Earth to Mars, you know, by asteroidal impact, if they survive the heat, at both ends of the trip.
And the radiation, you know, radiation destroys DNA pretty bad.
Yeah, that, you know, it might find Mars quite inhospitable. The reality is that any life that we're going to find on Mars is adapted to Mars. Personally, I think they ought to quit the search for life on Mars and even Europa and go right back to Titan to see if anything's swimming around in those methane lakes. Because anything you find there is going to be truly extraterrestrial.
I think we ought to figure out how we could do an impact of an object into Venus and terraform it like the Earth was perhaps terraformed and made our Goldilocks planet.
I don't think Earth was terraformed. There's no evidence to support that at all. We're
look
comfortable.
Look at the moon, man.
Mike,
look at the moon.
Mike, listen to me, okay? We've got to stop being species chauvinists. Uh-huh. We are comfortable on planet Earth because we evolved here.
Uh-huh.
And not because Earth... Okay, Mike, thank you very much. We're going to let you go here. Thank you very much. Okay, but the reality is we are comfortable here on Earth because we evolved here. Any life that we find on Mars is going to be very comfortable on Mars because it evolved there. We know from the extremophiles on our own planet that life can emerge and survive and flourish in just amazingly diverse environments. Bacteria that survive the freezing waters of the Arctic, bacteria that are surviving very deep down in the crust. They appear to be the source of most of the methane that is coming up and bubbling up from the bottom of the ocean. We know that methane is continuously detected in the Martian atmosphere, which is another indicator that there's something biological down there in the soil. But we may see, you know, we have to stop thinking that all life in the universe has to be what we have here on Earth, because that's absolutely naive. We could find life floating in the atmosphere of Jupiter. There's a point in the atmosphere where the density, because of the pressure and the gravity, the density of the gases is roughly equivalent to water, and you've got all the basic building blocks of life there. You've got these monster thunderstorms providing electricity to stir things up. I would not be at all surprised to find that there's life in the Jovian atmosphere, maybe even that of Saturn. I think ultimately we're going to find life can emerge under the most amazing conditions throughout the universe, but one step here at a time. As far as the idea of terraforming other planets, it's theoretically possible. As far as Earth being terraformed to make it a paradise for us, didn't happen. No evidence to suggest it. It's a paradise for us because we grew up here and we adapted to it, and that's why it feels like a paradise to us, not counting Wall Street and the war zones. All righty. Now, getting back to the war zones here, Michael Oren, the Israeli ambassador to the United States, is saying that Obama and the American people would support Israel if it attacks Iran. Now, Michael, if you keep telling lies like that, your nose is going to... Never mind. Meanwhile, back in Israel, apparently lynchings are starting to take place, where settlers are simply grabbing Palestinians and trying to lynch them. And the Israeli police are saying, basically, in this latest incident in Jerusalem, hundreds of Israelis were watching this attempt to lynch a Palestinian and didn't try and interfere, didn't stand up and say, look, you shouldn't do that. So remember how the lynchings of blacks in the American South was being condemned by the corporate media, and rightly so. Now we're having lynchings again in Israel. Not a peep. Not a peep at all. Another little story coming out of Israel. Apparently, There were some members of Congress over there in Israel for their usual indoctrination, prove that they're going to suck up to Tel Aviv before they can get elected kind of a situation. And apparently there was an incident at a tourist resort up at the Sea of Galilee that involved a lot of drinking. Apparently they decided to go swimming in the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus supposedly walked on water. Actually, he knew where the rocks were, which involved one member of Congress just going for a skinny dip, which wouldn't be a big deal. Except that this kind of behavior inside Israel is what hands Israel the ability to then blackmail members of Congress when they return back to the United States of America. And I've often suspected that all of these trips by America's politicians to Israel gives Israel a chance to get them boozed up or stoned, get them together with a hooker, or get them naked in the Sea of Galilee, and then take pictures with which they can then be influenced and controlled from then on. Now, just before we went, actually during an earlier segment of the show, I was watching the corporate media, and apparently Barack Obama has issued a declaration that Syria must not use chemical weapons. This, to me, suggests a false flag on the horizon. And there have been quite a few reports of the hired mercenary army being in possession of chemical weapons and also the gear to protect themselves from chemical weapons. And so it looks like, you know, absent a major false flag, international support for the invasion of Syria is definitely collapsing right now, mostly because the U.S. has lied to so many people about these wars. So if we're starting to see this thing where Obama is saying Syria must not use chemical weapons, it basically tells me that the United States is providing chemical weapons, or Israel's providing chemical weapons, to the hired mercenary army. They're going to gas a bunch of civilians, and the corporate media is going to say, oh, Assad is gassing his own weapons. The same thing they said about Saddam Hussein. He's gassing the Kurds. And it turned out that the Kurds were gassed with a chemical weapon that Saddam did not actually possess. And the U.S. Army War College concluded that actually Iran had used chemicals on the Kurds as a retaliation for cross-border raids. Everybody lies in wartime. And the sad, sick thing about it is all political leadership thinks they're justified in lying during a war, because all that counts is victory. We must have victory no matter what it costs. And of course, what it costs, even victory, exacts a heavy penalty. That movie that Jim Carrey did, The Majestic, where he's kicked out of Hollywood by the blacklisting, and he winds up in this little town of called Lawson, California. And they're all still mourning all the people they lost in World War II. And yeah, but look what it did to us, and then look what it's doing to America right now. As you walk down the streets of the United States and you see the potholes and the closed business fronts and all of the homeless people, we are paying a terrible, terrible price for our victories over Israel's enemies. And I think we need to realize we are all, as much as the Pakistanis or the Iraqi, or the Afghani, we are just as much a victim of these wars as anybody else. We need to start thinking in that way. Apparently, the hired mercenary army in Syria is admitting British intelligence is assisting them. Remember all those movies where James Bond is the good guy and he's always right? Well, those are apparently just movies, because British intelligence is in there trying to help the hired mercenary army overthrow government, because Israel told them to. We must have Syria before we can do Iran, and so forth and so on. Meanwhile, German intelligence is assisting the hired mercenary army. They are sailing intelligence gathering ships in the eastern Mediterranean to monitor the communications of the Syrian government and send the information over to the hired mercenary army. So the idea that this is a popular uprising and revolution, that is gone. That illusion is absolutely dead and gone here. Now, Syria has formally approached Moscow for help. And this underscores what a foreign policy disaster all of these wars on Israel's enemies are for the United States of America, because one by one, we are driving these governments that were formerly our friends into the Russian sphere of influence, and it gives Russia one more reason to view continued invasion into the Middle East as a threat against their strategic necessities. Now, not surprisingly, Russia is continuing to oppose a no-fly zone over Syria. They will continue to oppose it and veto in the UN Security Council, which means if it's going to be a no-fly zone, it'll be the United States acting unilaterally. And when a single country without UN approval establishes a no-fly zone over somebody else's country, that's called invasion and act of war, because you're sending your warplanes across the border into that other country without their permission. That is an act of war, and that's where we are right now. The U.S. is trying to start more and more wars. They are desperate for an all-out global war so they can blame the economic mess on it instead of having to accept responsibility for a lot of very self-serving, money-junkie policy changes in the United States, going back almost 100 years now and definitely accelerating over the last 10. Meanwhile, India, which used to be buddy-buddy with the United States, is moving closer to Russia. They're signing a defense deal worth $35 billion. We're running out of friends in this country, in this world, rather. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of balance concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendovite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendovite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Now, over in Pakistan, The drone attacks are continuing. Another 21 civilians are dead in the last 48 hours alone. Now, the Pakistan people are very upset about this. They are not looking forward to going down to their local market square to, you know, buy a huge meal now that the month of fasting is over. They're down there getting goodies. And all of a sudden, there's a loud explosion. And a lot of people they know and love and have grown up with are dead around them. This is going to really, you know, you're not going to have a cheerful day after that. But the U.S. keeps on doing it. And I think from the point of view of the people on the receiving end of the drone strike, there's really no difference between an explosion from a drone or an explosion from a suicide bomber. The end result is the same. It's an act of terror. It's exactly what the Nazis did against Great Britain with the V-1 and V-2 rockets. The V-1 was a cruise missile, the first cruise missile. And then the V-2 rockets, they were lobbing them over. They weren't aiming at any specific targets. The accuracy on these machines was amazing for its day, but they couldn't pinpoint a target. They just rained down the destruction on London in order to terrorize the British people into dropping support for Winston Churchill and for the war effort. And that didn't work either. And this is what the U.S. is doing in Pakistan. They send in the drones, they blow up a bunch of people, they say, we think that bloodstain over there may have been somebody who didn't love the United States of America. And it goes on. It's a terror campaign. And more people are beginning to recognize that the United Nations is now demanding that the United States government hand over the footage from the cameras on the drones for an investigation, or the UN says they will take action. I don't know what action they can take with the U.S. having a veto on the Security Council, but even the United Nations is saying this isn't legitimate warfare. This is just going in and killing people with impunity. Very rise of the machine kind of thing here. Now, as you're probably aware, Israeli activist Pamela Geller has been getting more and more outrageous in her efforts to try and rally American support for Israel. And her latest ad on the buses basically describes Israel as culturally superior, which is what Mitt Romney was saying, and then basically implies that everybody else around there are savages. You know, choose the civilized or the savages. Well, you know, savages really... The savages are the ones who are basically going in and taking things that don't belong to them, in my book. And the ad has provoked outrage. And in point of fact, the backlash to these ads are going to cause a lot more damage to Israel's agenda than Pamela Geller expected. Somebody has printed up some little stickers that go over the ads that change the wording to say, you know, in the conflict between the conqueror and the conquered, who are you going to sign with? We're going to take a break for station identification and come back with the bus service itself has felt compelled to post a counter ad. We'll be right back.
Are you again?